And we are back. It is week 19 of
that's
a
pretty.
That's pretty good.
That's incredible.
The university has no. Well, yes, but no. All right. Upon further review with the podcast profs. Now, as you know, we normally do this podcast on Wednesday afternoon, but Mother Nature couldn't make up her mind this week, at least not on Wednesday, as to what the weather should be. As
well, actually, on Wednesday, Mother Nature made up her mind pretty
just
definitively.
Just give us everything?
Just basically flip the table. And
give it all. So because she couldn't make up her mind whether it was supposed to be rain, freezing rain, sleet, ice, snow, and just gave us everything, that became sort of the genesis for the theme to this week's podcast, which is, would you please make up your mind?
Absolutely. There's been a lot of indecision lately.
There has been. But we are decisive about two things, who both of us are. So, who are you?
I am Dr. Soren Fanning, your friendly neighborhood historian.
Why do you always have to be the friendly neighborhood historian?
Because it's better than being the cranky out-of-town guy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the cranky communications professor, in which case, that's me. No. And I am Anthony Moretti, an associate professor in the Department of Communication. We both, of course, are at Robert Morris University, the Robert Morris University.
Indeed.
Not the one passing off name.
The ersatz one.
Exactly.
In Chicago.
In Chicago. So, as we said, the theme to this, by the way.
Yes.
Not only do we have the John Roland as the voice of reason.
I mean, it's not the best reason, but there is reason.
It's good enough. Yeah.
And we now have, did you hear
it comes
voice?
Free, so.
Did you hear that fourth voice?
Indeed.
I try not to.
Me and the voice of reason have a very long history with one another.
John, why don't you introduce he too had to make up his mind to come in here today. So why don't you introduce our friend here and explain why the two of you are normally together on Fridays here in RMU or at RMU Radio.
This is Anthony Richards over Not sitting Frankowski. Across from me. I call him Frankowski, and he's actually on my podcast, which goes on air Fridays at 4.
Very nice.
You're in news now.
So Mr. Richards saw us come around the corner and learned
or up around the bend, as the song
Oh, God.
Quiet, lovely.
Yeah. Anthony, Wednesday, 2 o'clock, you want to, like, usurp authority here? All right?
I would love to, but I don't know how to operate the soundboard or whatever you
never
call
mind.
This.
Never mind. All right.
I
good
haven't
seeing
taught
Get
them my
it.
Trade
no, no.
yet because they can't take over the show until I'm
Just
gone.
Yet.
There you go.
Exactly. All right. As we said, the theme to this week is, would you please make up your mind? And Soren, why don't you go first with the person or group or organization you wish to bash first for not being able to make up his, her, or its mind?
Oh, this one's easy. I never want to hear ever again. And by the way, the glasses are off. I've been holding this one in.
Yes.
So it's last night.
The buttons are exploding off his shirt, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. And it's not pretty. No.
Last night, with much hand-wringing and to-do, in addition to whether or not the government could decide, are we open, are we closed, do we have money, do we not have money, I have come to the conclusion I want the Republican Party to make up its blasted mind. Are you okay with spending money we don't have? Are you not okay with spending money we don't have?
Oh, they have made up their minds. It depends upon if the president
is a Republican or a Democrat.
Well, not even that. It depends upon if the president is Democrat who happens to be black or Republican who happens to be orange.
Well, bear in mind, they did this under Clinton, too.
Well, they did. That is true. So,
at this point, first of all, I'd like to declare the Tea Party officially dead.
Dead.
Because the Tea Party sprang into existence roughly 10 seconds after Barack Obama finished completing the oath, in which they all looked at their watches, clutched their pearls, and shrieked, "My God, he's been president 11 seconds and we're already $19 trillion in debt." As if it had never existed up until that point.
Keep in mind, of course, that the man who had preceded George or who had preceded Barack Obama, George Bush, W. Bush, got us into two wars and had a massive tax cut and basically paid for the country on a credit card in which somebody else had to pay for.
Well, not just that, but not once but twice during the younger Bush's administration, the Republican-controlled Congress voted to quite literally mail checks out to the American people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were pretty obvious about this. And so, and look, you want to be a deficit hawk, be a deficit hawk. That's mm-hmm. fine.
Agreed.
You okay with deficit spending? Okay, that's fine. You need to find a way how we're going to get out of it. But, you know, that's also legitimate, too. What you are not allowed to do is switch your position based on whose party it's going to benefit. Because mm-hmm. what we have, and I debated a long time. I had to make up my mind as to whether or not I was going to go here. So I'm going to go here.
Okay.
The Republican Party has become the party of economic sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've openly now decided with this, I mean, bear in mind, they were excoriating Barack Obama for running, on average, during his 8 years, $500 billion deficits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, for a lot of that, there was that whole Great Recession thing he had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But on average...
And was he responsible for that Great Recession?
Seeing as he wasn't president? Yeah. Well, then there's this whole open question about how responsible are presidents for economies.
Mm-hmm.
But he was running about $490 billion over budget on average every year of his presidency, and mm-hmm. the Republicans made huge hay about it. Mm-hmm. We are now on track between the massive tax cut we just passed.
We?
As a country.
Okay. So say, I don't think you and I voted for that thing.
No, absolutely. Our government is notoriously does not listen to me. We'll let history decide how that's going to play out. But between the tax cut and this brand new $300 billion, which is actually closer to $480 billion.
Hey, it's only a couple of hundred billion.
Well, you know what the saying is.
Exactly.
A billion here, a billion there. Sooner or later, you're talking about real money.
Real money.
But between that and what was passed last night, we are on par to run trillion-dollar deficits for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, the moment a Democrat becomes president,
it will be a problem.
Suddenly, they're going to say, oh my God, look at those Democrats. We're now $30 trillion in debt.
For what it's worth, I thought one of the more both honest and backhanded comments yesterday about this whole discussion about, you know, would the House and Senate both approve this was a Republican who had the gall to suggest that the reality is right now, the reason that this is going to pass is because the Democrats want CHIP, and so as a result, we have to give them what they want. So if they get to put a bunch of money in the till and we get to put a bunch of money in the till, then, you know, in reality, we're just being forced to do what they want us to do. That was tortured logic, but that's kind of how it read.
Tortured, yes. Logic, not so
okay.
much.
Okay, all right. I'll grant you that.
But it is, I mean, and by the way, I need to give a shout out to a guy I really don't agree with a lot of the time, but I will give him credit.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul has principles. I may disagree with him, but I will give him credit. He opposed deficit spending under Democrats. He's opposing it under Republicans. So at the very least, I know it's a low bar. I will give him credit for actually being the same person.
Just be careful if you're his next door neighbor, though. He may punch you in the nose or something.
Well, that's a totally different matter. But anyway, that was dominating my thinking on the would you make up your mind already. What about you?
Oh, where do I begin? All right. So, now, by the way, we need to get this man here like a what do they call it?
Stress ball?
No, the thing you put on your head to cool your head off. A cold compress. All right, because he is as red as red could be at this point. All right, and it's not.
Well, understand. Last night I was venting to my wife, and let's just say that the profanity was both extensive and creative.
That is a lot of aggression towards this topic. There was a lot of passion towards this topic. Maybe a little bit of both.
No, there wasn't passion. It was aggression. All right? There was no passive aggressive. It was all aggressive.
It was passion aggressive.
All right. I'm going to lambaste the International Olympic Committee here for the next couple of minutes.
Because the opening ceremonies are being televised tonight in the U.S.
No. Actually, they were live this morning, and I watched some of them.
Oh. How was it?
Quite cool.
It was quite cold
in Pyeongchang, but that's another story altogether.
I love the Parade of Nations.
Yes. Favorite part of the opening ceremony, save for the lighting of the torch itself.
Correct.
But by the way, I was driving into work this morning, and I heard an announcer say, get ready for this, that the athletes had gathered in Pyongyang for the Olympics.
Oh, God. No.
Whoops.
No. No.
I mean, let's put it this way. Right peninsula, wrong place. All right.
In the immortal words of Bob Uecker, just a bit outside.
Yeah, it was, you know, you got to go north about 100 or so miles and go back in time about what, 15 years? So, Pyongyang, I thought that was... I was kind of wondering, like, what the torch lighting ceremony would look like, you know? It would be some political prisoner or something, but I digress. All right, so... The International Lighting Olympic Ceremony. Committee. There you go. Now, understand something. I am right there with the International Olympic Committee wanting to clear up or clear performance-enhancing drugs and steroids and those sorts of things from the Olympic movement. I am right there with them. I am right there with them in acknowledging that Russia ran a state-sponsored doping system at the 2014 Olympics, and therefore there should be meaningful sanctions in place. I am right there. In fact, I'm right there with the Russians saying that this is a bunch of hooey, because frankly, that's what you would expect a government to do, is to say that, you know, that this isn't true.
By the way, bear in mind, during the Soviet period, they'd practically just take these genetically engineered super athletes out of cryogenic freeze once every 4 years.
Yes, they did. And so look, I get all of that. I get there's no place for performance enhancing drugs. I get the IOC wants to clear it up. I get why they wanted to ban Russia. The process was a disaster, and it's a joke.
Yes.
I mean, understand that there were a group of about four dozen Russian potential Olympians who found out late last night, U.S. time, very early this morning,
Korean time,
that their request to participate in the games, their appeal, in other words, to the Court of Arbitration, had been turned down. Now, understand something. This is within hours of the start of the premier international sports event, sorry, soccer fans, anywhere in the world, all right?
Yeah.
The premier international sports event. If you are the International Olympic Committee and you are going to tell me that country X is going to be banned because of state-sponsored drug use, and then there is going to be an appeals process, this entire process has to be wrapped up at minimum 6 weeks before the games begin.
Yeah.
Those athletes need to know if they are or are not going to be allowed to participate.
I agree.
System that the IOC used feeds the Russian narrative that the IOC or the Canadians or the Americans or the whomever else you want to mention are out to get them.
And with the Illuminati.
With the Illuminati. Well, you know what? I don't know. The Illuminati, I thought, was like part of the deep state for in the U.S., all right?
I got my bachelor's degree from deep state.
I'm not touching that. I'd like to see that mascot. What would the mascot be for the deep state U?
It'd be like, it would probably be like one of those old pulp superhero, like the Phantom,
you
know,
but
like
you can't
the black
see
fedora.
It though. That's the thing. Yeah. Right?
What is the deep state exactly?
The deep state is a fever dream or nightmare of the right. That is basically arguing that deeply entrenched bureaucrats who have been in the government all their lives, right now their fondest desire is to undermine Donald Trump. So in this telling, the FBI is basically infested with leftists. It's basically become the weather underground of the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. I see.
The FBI.
The FBI.
The FBI, yeah.
I'm just going to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
So, by the way, on a totally different note, Mr. Richards, what's your favorite Olympic event?
My favorite Olympic event.
Winter, not summer.
Winter Olympic event. Yes, that would probably be snowboarding or bobsledding, one or the other.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Mm-hmm. Bobsled is fun to watch for
me.
Bobsledding
for
me, it's curling.
I got three.
Curling.
Curling's one of the three.
Oh, good.
Luge, curling, and ice hockey, but I can't get into ice hockey this year.
Why not?
Because the National Hockey League under Dumbo Bettman made this ridiculous decision to not allow the NHL players to participate. And so, therefore, you have the best international tournament or best international sports event, and you don't have the best players in the world participating in one of the signature events of the Winter Games. It is nonsense and idiocy, but that has described the 25-year reign of terror of Gary Bettman over the National Hockey League.
So has he reached like Sepp Blatter level of hatred to you?
That's intense. I mean, if he has, that's quite impressive.
Would that be Blatter or Bladder? All right,
take your pick.
All right, because
you know, septic bladder.
Septic bladder. That's what. That's basically, you know, where it goes. But look, returning to this idea about the Russians and the IOC and banning athletes and all of this. If I am creating a narrative to the people of my country that says traditional Western organizations and traditional Western powers are conspiring to ensure that we are denied the place on the world stage that we deserve, and that they are attempting to undermine us in any way, shape, and form they can. What has taken place over the last 6 weeks is absolutely gold if you are Vladimir Putin, all right? It is gold because you can go on national television and say—
In other words, you can tell a story and you don't even have to lie about it this time.
He doesn't even have to lie this time, I know. He just has to spin a good yarn, but understand—
They probably passed him those papers like, this is what is happening, and he was all like, oh— This is quite lovely.
Yeah, but wait, this is true. No, but you know, what in the world are the folks at the IOC thinking? Get this decided weeks and months in advance, so that when the Russian very potent propaganda message comes out, you can turn around and say, "Here's our evidence." Now you have Russian athletes not allowed to participate. And their story is going to get strong international play, especially in an Olympic Games that, if they are, for lack of a better phrase, boring, meaning that what you expect to happen does happen. The controversy has to come from somewhere, and it will be created and will be sustained by this notion that the IOC is out to get the Russians. And if you are sitting on or on Russian soil this morning or this afternoon, that's not a difficult argument to accept. I was just horribly done.
I agree. I have one, and sadly— this particular edition of Would You Please Make Up Your Mind, I have to direct at my co-host because, Anthony, I love you like a brother.
What I do this time?
Well, No. It wasn't you, and it was before you knew me, right?
No. See, whenever somebody looks at you, or whenever my wife looks at me and goes, Anthony Joseph, my response is, I didn't do it. It happened before I knew you. It's your sister's fault.
There you go.
All right? Those are my answers.
But I do need you to make up your mind. Are you going to watch football or not? Because, hang on. We have been.
It depends on the league.
No. This is my problem.
Strain on his face.
I know, and I know this is painful, but we have been friends now for a number of years.
Yes,
we have discussed this here. I still could not, if you put the metaphorical gun to my equally metaphorical head, I could not explain why you're okay with the NCAA and not the NFL.
It's very simple.
You don't like the NFL.
Precisely.
So does that mean that you might like the XFL in a few years?
No.
What is the XFL?
No. Because see,
it only existed for a year.
Okay. Actually, it's coming back in the 2020.
It's coming back in 2020. For God's
sake. From what has been said, less emphasis on the wrestling part of it. So just a football league to fill in the time when the NFL's not on. Mm. We'll see how that goes. But the point is, they're trying not to be gimmicky this time.
Okay, let me try. All right, because I will admit that my what's not respect tolerance for the NCAA gets a little bit less and a little bit less every year. Here's what it comes down to for me. Here is the critical difference as far as I'm concerned. Lots of faults for the NCAA, not the least of which is athletes should get paid. Many, many faults that I see with the No Future League, not the least of which is they really don't give a damn about their players. And so,
agreed.
To me, the difference is there is still something noble, and maybe that's too strong a word, but there still is something noble about people who represent the institution that they at least nominally have an interest in versus representing a team that is nothing more than an employer of them, nothing more, nothing less. Saying that, there is a gigantic overlap between the hypocrisy of both organizations.
Correct.
And I have given thought each year to how many college football games I actually do intend to watch. And without tracking the numbers exactly, I think the college football season that just ended was, for me, the fewest amount of games I ever watched.
And I will say this, and I'm just going to throw this out there, but I'm coming to the belief that I think everyone has to sort of make their Zen-like peace with that sport in virtually every setting, maybe not the Olympics, but probably so, is essentially painfotainment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not really all that far removed from gladiatorial matches of 2,000 years ago.
With the exception of some sports, I grant you, basketball is horrible on the knees and the joints. Mm-hmm. Football, we know, is just brutal. We know that hockey can be brutal. We know that baseball...
Well, basically what hockey is it's an MMA match in which occasionally someone scores a goal.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean...
Now, one of your favorite sports, curling, clearly does not have the physical... bone-crushing nature to it.
It is the only professional sport that I could conceivably play at my age and in my physical condition.
So by the way, can someone explain? Because I'm not actually familiar with how curling works.
Ice shuffleboard.
Oh, okay.
That's very simple. Do yourself a favor.
Yes.
Google it and watch.
No, watch. All you need to do is watch one match.
Uh-huh. And you are hooked.
Oh, my God. It's like... I don't know what you would call it, like sport heroin. I mean,
it looks like some dude who is or woman who is just taking a large stone with a handle on it and just arbitrarily
shooting it down a sheet
of ice. Hmm. But there is a distinct purpose and reason behind it. John Rowland is just itching to get in here.
As dumb as this is, because we're talking about the Olympics.
Wait, did he just say no? We won't go there.
No, this isn't about curling. There's a YouTube channel that makes something called the Marble Olympics. It's just marbles doing Olympic style events, and it is
marbles.
Yeah, marbles.
Like the round spheres.
Yeah,
like
what you collected as a kid because they looked pretty. Mm-hmm. They literally just do Olympic events, and it is the most entertaining thing, and it is so engaging. And
I'm
I don't know why, because nothing happens.
A marble doing.
If I were to ever attend an international or a Winter Olympics, the only tickets I'd want are to the Olympic Sliding Center. I'd want the luge, the skeleton, and the bobsled. And if do I want the curling? Yeah, but I think those might be a little harder to get. If I could get like the sliding season ticket, so to speak.
I love how they call it skeleton, because if you make a mistake, that's probably going to be all that's left.
I mean, so now I need, because my thing is I'm not a very huge sports fan. My sports are.
Are you a sinner?
Hmm?
Are you a sinner?
No, I'm sorry to say, but I cannot deny it.
Oh, he has different interests, and so we're supposed to be okay with that.
Yeah, I forget that.
I forgot. He's your student, so you need a good review, and so.
He's not my student now.
Yes, I'm not his student anymore, so he doesn't need my review anymore.
In that case, you can bash him. He's not a sports... No. Go ahead.
He's not even in social sciences.
No, go ahead. I know he's a mechanical engineer.
I know. He has a career ahead of him.
He's going to, like, you know, in like 5 years, he's going to do something like circumnavigate the two of us, and we'll both end up as blobs or something.
I mean,
you know?
A history professor is always going to probably have a easy time getting into education.
Hold on to that dream. All right, keep going.
All right, so.
All right. Yes, but see, my sports that I follow, I don't really follow too many winter sports, but my sports are track and field, tennis, and soccer, right?
Real.
Proper football.
Right, real football.
Exactly. You are a Summer Olympics fan.
Yes, I am. I can occasionally watch basketball, but I prefer to be at games as opposed to watching televised versions of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm like most of the sports that you guys are talking about, I'm not actually very familiar with.
It's all right.
In Winter Olympics, I like skiing and I like bobsledding and I like snowboarding. And then I also like diving, but that's Summer Olympics. Once again. So
ski jump is so much fun to watch.
Oh yes, very much.
I got to tell you, if you ever wanted to like scare the heck out of somebody, strap them on your back and take them down that 90 meters thing.
You know what's fun? If you do like bad lip reading.
Yes, yes.
Ski jumps. Yeah. You know, because they're sitting there, you go, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God.
And then they land.
stick the landing. Mm-hmm. And every now and then someone doesn't stick the landing.
I can't imagine.
Yes, you of course are old enough to remember the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, where the agony of defeat moment was the guy who cascaded over the edge of the ski jump.
No, he face planted about halfway down and just sort of kept rolling.
Yes. Lost his balance, and which is one of the reasons they put those deep grooves in, so make it.
You
make
can't
it
do that anymore.
But I do know that you have at least one more. Will you make up your mind? And it wasn't directed at me.
Well, you're next.
No, I'll let you take the next one. Go ahead.
Oh well, I had a couple. I'm trying to remember.
Oh, the guy that beat up two of his ex-wives and finally got thrown out of the White House. Yeah,
Rob Porter,
that gentleman.
Yeah. So apparently, you know. When Donald Trump was elected, the cry that emanated from the country was,
"No,
Lord, where can a white man finally get protection?" Well, apparently, if you're a spousal abuser, the White House is your one-stop shop for employment. That this guy, and it's not like this was a secret. And by the way, how's John Kelly coming? How's he looking these days?
Here's the thing. John Kelly was supposed to be the voice of reason in this White House.
And the sad thing is, he still technically is. That's how low
That's
the bar is.
That's how low the bar is at this point. Look, one of the things that has fascinated or repulsed, depending upon what you think of this guy, fascinated or repulsed America. Yes. Well, the four of us in this room repulsed. But Donald Trump has essentially said, I don't care about... for lack of a better phrase, political correctness. Mm-hmm. If I think you are fat, I'm going to call you fat. If I think you're stupid, I'm going to call you stupid. If I think you're disabled, I'm going to call you disabled. And I don't care.
And by the way, just to translate for our audience, by political correctness, he means civilized behavior.
Yes, yes.
All right.
And so what Trump basically has done is said with the hiring of some of these people is, I don't really care if they've beaten their wives, ex or current, if they are competent as I define competent, and if they are stable as I define stable,
Which he is neither.
Well, again, if you're fascinated or repulsed by this guy, and we know where the four of us stand, then sure, he's going to suddenly, you know, look at guys like Rob Porter and say, what's the big deal? Where common sense tells you, hey, idiot, you can't beat your wife and keep your job in public service.
Nobody should assault anybody.
Agreed.
Ever.
Agreed, but not in...
When did this become controversial?
Because Donald Trump's world, you know, is a little bit like Elmo's world, okay? Whatever happens...
You owe that Muppet an apology.
Yeah, very much so.
Not for all the times he put me through watching him when my kids were kids. No.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, all you have to do is go up to my good friend, Dr. Anthony Moretti, and just whisper Mr. Noodle in his ear and watch the shakes take over.
All right. So, look, you're absolutely right. Nobody should. But in the world in which Donald Trump basically says political correctness be damned, I'm going to hire whom I want to hire, regardless of what they have or have not done, then men like Rob Porter who are going to find positions, and only when the political pressure gets strong enough will somebody like Rob Porter be called out and dismissed. It's a sad statement, but that's the way it is, so to speak. You know, and yeah, men like Rob Porter ought not ever have been hired to begin with. I absolutely agree with you. But in Donald Trump's world, it doesn't matter.
Let's be honest. This White House has sheltered a domestic abuser,
mm-hmm.
not the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go down, there is a pattern of behavior
mm-hmm.
in the people that are hired by this administration. Now, not everyone who works for the administration is a domestic abuser. I am not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But I am saying if you look, their patterns emerge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's revolting.
And look, whether, you know, the president of the United States, fairly or unfairly, takes the blame no matter what happens in his administration.
Correct.
And as a result, this is on, literally and figuratively, on Donald Trump's doorstep.
Right. No, in a logical world, you'd be absolutely correct. However...
yeah, that's unfortunately not where we live.
Well, I mean, you know, we're sort of in topsy-turvy land right now.
Mm-hmm.
That said, we're a long way off from a resolution.
So I think if we were going to combine our various would you make up your mind themes this week, I think essentially what we're saying is that you don't have to agree with what Soren and I think. You don't even have to necessarily like what Soren and I think. But we are of a firm belief that indecision or poor decision-making, or decision-making that takes too late to be made or is too late in coming, are simply wrong. That you try to do the right thing at the right time. Firing a man after clear evidence of spousal abuse twice is unacceptable. Delaying...
Although it is better than doing nothing.
Agreed. And yet, you know, come on. It was clear that this White House had information about this and didn't act upon it.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you're a fan of 80s comedies, but the immortal 1984 film Spies Like Us,
mm-hmm.
Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase were at the top of their game.
Oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You know, it reminded me of the scene, you know, are you going to let Mr. Porter work for the White House? No, not now. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not so much that, oh, we just found out and we fired him. It's like, right. Well, now that you're reporting on it, I guess we have to fire him.
If they did not
Which, by the way, is what they did with Mike Flynn, remember?
Yes. If they did not know or he had lied, fine. You did the right thing at the right time. You fired him. You make a decision weeks or months before telling a group of athletes that they can or cannot participate in an event. You do not do it literally within hours of the event starting. Right. And you make up your mind as a politician what principles you stand for. As you and I have said, we loathe generally what the Tea Party stands for, but the reason that both of us, I think, respected the Tea Party was you knew where they were coming from.
Right.
You didn't like them, but you knew where they were coming from.
And right now, again, it's the whole thing. We hate government spending unless it's on the military. You know, I mean,
yes.
And this is not to say you can't change your mind. But here's the thing. You get to change your mind. Please note my use of the word singular. This constant flip-flopping when it's advantageous.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I got so upset, and I'm still so upset about this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that by spending so much money when it's not necessary, it means that when a crisis comes, we are not going to have the ability to fix the problem. And it honestly strikes me, this is my sense, I have no data to back this up, I know we're running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a group that I honestly feel in their actions would rather let the country burn to the ground mm-hmm. than let someone they don't like get a win.
Mm-hmm. No, I thought John was going to say something. And here's the thought too: when all of these deficit bonds and deficit ideas are floated, who's buying them? The Chinese. Anybody see a problem with the Chinese at some point, basically saying to the United States, "You know what? We want our money."
Well,
oops.
Well, that's unlikely to happen for a whole number of reasons, but you could, of course, make the argument that the Chinese are doing to the West what the West did to them in the 1830s, that this is just karma.
No. It was totally
Hello!
Different.
Do you remember the Opium War?
No, it was totally
How
different.
How does it feel?
It was totally... like the 1900s, no, right? It was totally different because we were acting on noble means back then. They are acting
The British went to war for their right to deal smack to the Chinese.
No, but it was it was noble smack.
is that how that works?
Was that the brand name? ye oldie noble smack from Heritage and Sons. Address on Fleet Street.
And on that note of hypocrisy or humor,
beautiful.
We will wrap up episode 19 of Upon Further Review with...
They're not junkies. They're heroin fanciers.
Wait a minute. I just said that wraps up episode 19.
I'm still stuck on Noble Smack.
And you just called us junkies.
That's no, I called us heroin fanciers, apparently.
Let's try this again. Right. And with that moment of hypocrisy or humor, we wrap up episode 19 of Upon Further Review with...
The podcast profs reunited once again.
And he is...
Dr. Soren Fanning... Associate Professor of History at Robert Morris University.
And I am Anthony Moretti, and also to Anthony Richards Frankowski. All right. And John Rowland. You guys have yourselves a good podcast this afternoon, gentlemen. And for the listeners, we will talk to you next Friday when I think.
Next Friday,
maybe.
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. See, I don't even know what day of the week it is. We'll do it next Wednesday when we'll probably have to do some sort of, we need an Olympic controversy.
Ooh.
How about the president of South Korea and the sister of Kim Jong-un shaking hands this morning?
Well, I'm sure between now and then we will get a controversy.
We need
one.
Oh,
yeah? I mean, this is the modern world we're living in.
It is.
Yeah, if you don't have a controversy, one will be made for you.
Oh, precisely. Yeah. And that wraps up the podcast. We will talk to you next week.